We're going to go to the Psalm 63 today. Just keep it up there. We're going to Psalm 63. And we're taking a little break from the book of Acts for Father's Day. Just a happy Father's Day to all the fathers and to all of you. I just want to honor all those fathers in this house. Can you just put up your hands? Fathers, just put up your hands. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we want to honor you. We want to say thank you. And God bless you guys. God bless you. We need you to be strong. Fathers, we need you to be strong. We need you to be strong. And your children need them. And your children need them to be strong. And I pray that God will strengthen you to be the daddy that your children need. And also to be a father to those who are lost. You know, you may not be father, but we can all take place or take the role of pointing the world to the good father we have. It's a beautiful song we sang earlier today, good father. You know, Jesus revealed that to us, that we have good father in our God. You know, I would like to call for your attention today to open your heart and open your ears to the voice, to His voice this morning. And may your heart be filled with joy and shout of praise as you listen to His voice. So let's read the text together. Psalm 63, we're going to read together from the top. It's only 11 verses. I'm reading from ESV version. And here, let's all read together. God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I look upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory, because your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you, so I will bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me, but those who seek to destroy my life shall go down into the depth of the earth. They shall be given over to the power of the sword. They shall be portioned for jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. All who swear by him shall exult. For the mouth of the liars will be stopped. Amen. You know, in this psalm, what we find is that King David, this is before he became a king, he found himself in the Judean desert. Judean desert is the south part of Israel. And it was a dry place. Very, very dry place. The more north you go, it becomes very rich in soil. There's mountaintops and there's a river going. But as it goes south, it's very dry. It becomes drier and drier. And then also they say that it's hard. I've never been there. They say that it's a place where it's kind of hard to find the water source. And also really hard to find your way around. So naturally it becomes a place for those people who are looking for refuge. They will go there because people don't want to get lost there. So they will. A lot of people usually stay away unless you are looking for shelter from a refugee, from enemies or avengers who are trying to kill you or who are coming after you. So it's a perfect place for them. And that's where King David is hiding, because King Saul, the king at the time, was trying to kill him. So he had no choice. He knew a safe place. But that safe place happens to be a desert place, a very, very dry place, where he knew that he would be very, very thirsty, where he has to struggle to find water source. He went there. And in that place, he's meditating upon God. He's searching for God. You know, although David went there to sustain his life, to preserve his life, as we read from the text, we find that it was actually a place of blessing. You know, we can easily see how blessing it was for David, just collecting all the verbs he used here in this psalm. So if I just put it together, it was a place where David became hungry and thirsty for God. It was a place where he was dying to see God. It was a place where he gave all his thoughts and focus to God. It was a place where he clinged on to God. It was a place where he remembered his God. It was a place where his heart was filled with joy and praise. Wow. It doesn't get any better than that. All right. It's been decided. That's where we are going for an EM retreat. Sounds like a good place for us. Right? Yeah. And have you guys ever experienced a place or time like that in your life? Like David did. So desperate. You know, it's an open place, wide open place, but you feel stuck. You're free to roam around anywhere, but you're stuck. It is a place of refugee, a place where you can claim to be somewhat safe, but you're so crushed from within. It is a place where you search for answer, but there is just no way out. As soon as you step out, you're in trouble. You wonder why God would allow such a thing to take place in your life. As you look up, God, why? As you look down the desert, the dry land, as you go around, I'm like, what am I doing here? Have you guys ever felt like you're stuck in such a place in your life? What am I doing here? And have you ever wondered, as you look into the situation of your life, God, why? A situation where you feel absolutely, absolutely small, insignificant, and powerless. Maybe you went through that place already. Maybe you are in that place right now as we have gathered today to worship God. In that place, we are much better situated. I want to remind you and encourage you. In such a place, you are much better situated to experience God's love and His presence. I want to remind you again, when you are stuck, when you are troubled, when you feel crushed within, when you feel like the roadside of your life is saying, no, dead end, right? Dead end, right? I want to let you know that you're much better placed right now than ever to experience God's love and His presence. So let's go to verse 1 together. Oh God, you are my God. Honestly, I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Thirst, the word thirst, is a Hebrew word that is soma. It literally means drying from inside out. So dry from inside out. It is a word that was used to express strong desire, and he's using this word to express his strong desire to seek God. And how that strong desire having physical manifestation. Maybe some of you can kind of identify yourself with that. You're dying for something, you feel like your body's drying. You're dying, you're waiting for something to happen, and you're like, you feel like your lips are just drying out. And you're so desperate. That's what the word thirst means here. And it says, I faint. The word, Hebrew word is kama. It means that my face is turning all pale right now. God, I feel like I'm fainting for you. And, you know, just like a lost child. Have you guys seen a lost child? My brother was. I was very embarrassed at the time. I ran away. My mom was going everywhere. Ijina! I was like, oh, no. Where did he go? Right? You know, my mom would turn pale. And my brother came back like 20 minutes later. He was pale, right? Just like a lost child looking for God, looking for mom, looking for somebody, right? That's what David became, because he was so desperate for God. And then you can see that in verse 1, it's not as clear in the English text, but in Hebrew text, here in this short verse, he repeats God twice, and he repeats Lord 5 times. God, God, my Lord, my Lord, my Lord, my Lord. He is clearly like a child who's lost, looking for mom, looking for dad. And of course, you can see that he's drying out and he's turning pale. He's losing grips. He's losing strength. And he's definitely so desperate. So what we hear in the verse 1 is a lost child crying, "Mom, Mom, Mom." So this is what David does. Early I seek you. Early I seek you. You know, if something is urgent, it is first thing that you will do in the morning. That's what it means. And that it was that was norm in the culture at the time. They say that if something is very urgent for you, you know what? That will be the very first thing that you will do. That means this. This draws a picture for you and me. Have you guys ever had experience on night? A dreadful night. You just trying to put yourself to bed, but you can't. Because this thing is just keep bothering you. Man, you're so worried about it. You're so concerned about it. Just having your infinite loop of like, you think about it, and until you're just in bed, just waiting for the morning to happen so you can just get out and get on it. You know, I used to sing, and I have the day before, when I just kind of first began to sing, I had a performance anxiety. So I had my first performance was absolute disaster because I forgot the lyrics. Right? Ever since then, every time before I had a performance, I'm laying in bed and I need good sleep because my vocal cord needs rest. But my mind is keep repeating the lyrics again, again, all night. I cannot sleep because I keep singing in my head. And the morning comes, okay, let's get ready. Right? It was those kind of things. He was keep thinking all night because this trouble is so overwhelming that he's just keep thinking about it, and I need God to help me out. And boom, the morning comes, I'm getting up, and he's just getting down on his knees, and God, I need you. This is what we see here. He could not sleep well. He was desperate. He was in need of God. Now let's go to verse 2. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. In the literal translation, better translation is this. I saw your power and glory in your sanctuary. It's a little different. It means I saw your glory and power in the sanctuary. You know, the word sanctuary here, it means throughout the Old Testament, it was used to express something that is holy. So let me explain this. Israel, the Israelites, they called a place, you know, they had moments, a lot of moments where they have experienced that, you know, God's angel zoom, comes down and ooh, they all fall down. I saw God, right? I saw the angel of God, right? They named the place holy, sanctuary. And they usually, if you follow along the Old Testament, those places where they have experienced God's presence, where they witnessed God's angels and God's servant, they will build the altars. And they will worship God because for them, it's a holy place. God, this is a holy place. I have witnessed God and I still live. You will find again and again. And so this is what's happening. David is looking back to those moments where he have experienced God's presence. Ooh, I remember those times when I was desperate, how God came forth. I remember those moments. I was so lost, and God sent his angels to assure me, to strengthen me, to encourage me. I remember those holy places. And because he was now feeling not so holy in that desert place. This place was far from the, you know, holy places where he experienced God's presence. Wow, yes, God is going to help me out in the desert place. He's feeling remotely far away from God. And God, I remember those places. How good it was. And in those moments, I experienced your power and glory. He's talking about his presence. He's talking about his protection when he says power and glory. God, I remember those places. And then verse 3 happens. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. Let me read this again. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. Now we find David in his prayer, in his meditation, he's going even deeper, it's so much deeper into his love. And this is what happened. He's tapping into his love.
Before, he was very far away from God. And he's like, whoa, I remember these holy places. And as remembering those holy places, his presence, he's going deeper in his meditation into his presence. And as he goes deeper into his presence, he's finding the place called love. The steadfast love. You know, steadfast love, Hebrew word is hesed. It's unconditional love. The love that is bound by covenant. The love that does not abandon. He's tapping into that place, sacred place, because that is sacred, because he and God share together. He's tapping into that place. And he's reaching into God's love and proclaiming this in this section. It was your love that kept me going all this time. It was your love that kept me together all these years. That's what he's realizing here. Oh, wow. Yes. I'm in the desert place. I'm running away. I'm on the run right now. This feels nothing like holy place. This place looks so far away from my destiny. This place looks so far away from the picture of my future. This place looks so far away from what I was born for. This place looks so far away from your love. This place looks so far away from your promise that you gave me and when you anointed me to be, that you will make me a king. I'm in desert, God. But he's realizing, you know what? This is holy place. What, you know why? Because the word hesed in Hebrew paints a beautiful picture. When Hebrews think about this word unconditional love, hesed, covenantal love, it draws a really beautiful picture, which is door. If you just break down the word hesed, it becomes like this, a portal or door where God's heart and my heart come together. He's realized that a very important truth right here. I'm in desert right now. I'm a desperate place right now. I'm a place where I'm not meant to be. But he's realizing there is a door right here. There's a door right here. And if you can just come, open the door, come to me, then that's it. Then I will live. Then I will live. Then he's like, wow, yes, God, open that door. Open that door. I'm desperate for you. Just come forth to me. I realize that this place too become holy place in my life. That's what he's claiming here. Wow. And just like any other time, your love have kept me together. This will be no different. I'm in a very bad place right now. But there is door right here because your love never abandons. Because your love is steadfast. Because your love is everlasting. Because your love is here with me right now. Wow, it's just like that. Just open the door, God. And I will be satisfied. I will be satisfied. And that's exactly what happens. From verse 4 on, his song completely changes. His meditation completely changes. And you see that his heart is now being filled with joy and shout of God. He becomes assured. He's convinced. Wow, I will be victorious. All those who are seeking after my life, they will be sorry. His heart completely changes. His story changes. The way that how he tells his story completely changes. And his prayer definitely changes. You know, we have cross. You know, this beautiful cross we have put together by Mike. You know, it shouts a very great message that you and I, we are in need of remembering each and every time. The message of the cross proclaims to you and me each and every day is this: it is my love that keeps you together. It is my love that preserves you. It is my love that protects you. It is my love that sustains you. Remember, remember, remember. And that's exactly what King David remembered. Yes, it is your love. So let's read together verse 4 through 11. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the fat and rich food. It's very different now from a dry place, right? Fat and rich food. And my mouth will praise you with joyful lips when I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of night, for you have been my help. In the shadow of your wings, I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek to destroy my life shall go down into the depth of the earth. They shall be given over to the power of the sword. They shall be portion of for jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. He's talking about himself, because the king shall rejoice in God. All who swear by him shall exult, for the mouth of liars will be stopped. You know what's funny? Something funny happens here. Funny thing is that God's love never stopped. But he's talking about it just like, it's just like, whoa, I discovered something new. God's love never stopped. His love is abounding. God's love is abundant. But his love never stopped. His love never stopped to overwhelm him. And second thing is that God didn't do anything here. We don't read anything in this psalm. So God came forward and he destroyed all my enemies and he placed me in my palace. Oh God, I thank you. None of that happened. God didn't do anything. We don't hear anything about what God did in this psalm. So what happened? David's heart changed. That's what changed. That's what happened. The situation, the sticky situation, is still there. He's still in the desert place. He's still in the desperate end of the story, because King Saul is still the majority. He's stronger. And the people who came flocking around him, they're nobodies. They're just actually very cumbersome for him. He's just trying to be hide away safely, waiting for the time so they can be king. But 400 people joined him. Well, we're desperate too. We're not happy either. So all these people came around him. Situation did not change. But as he went deeper in his soul, into his love, his presence, something changed. It was his heart. A couple hundred years later, someone else actually visits this place. The Bible says that this person was led by Holy Spirit to go there. His name is Jesus. Jesus went to the desert place where David was hiding, driven by Holy Spirit, led by Holy Spirit. And in that place, he starved for 40 days and 40 nights. And he was tempted. And the very first temptation that the devil threw at him was this. Well, you must be very hungry after 40 days. Turn to stone and to bread. And this is how Jesus Christ answered him back. It is not by the bread alone man shall live, but it is by the every word from the mouth of God man shall live. This verse comes from Deuteronomy chapter 8. And this is a portion where now Moses is proclaiming to the people, God drove you guys to desert place so that you will learn that you don't live by bread alone, but it is by the word of God. It is not just because you see the bread you are living. No, not at all. Just because bread is now being, being consumed by you, that's not what sustains you. It was the promise of God that spoke to you. I will provide for you. I will lead you. It was his promise, and his power to keep his promise is what sustains you. But you see, Jesus went there because every man, every woman falls. When we entered the desert place, when we went to the sticky mess, we all fail. Nobody is good enough. Nobody will stand at the end. But Jesus went there, claimed the victory for you and me. Now he's became the life, and now he became the power in you and me. So that we may have the change of heart. So that even through the desert place, even through dead end, even through difficult situation or hardship that you face, you can say, I can do all things through Jesus Christ who is in me, who is strengthening me right now. For that, you and I, we have to listen to his voice of love. His love is proclaiming loud and clear in this place today. It is my love. It is my love. It is my love that preserves you. It is my love. It is my love that protects you. It is my love that will preserve you. It is my love that will lead you to the eternal glory. Trust me. Today we celebrate Father's Day. And I want all of us to take time to listen to God's voice, His voice of love. May our hearts, may our devotion, may our, all our focus be channeled to Him, to His voice today. And be convinced, be encouraged, be empowered by His love today. I don't know, maybe some of you are going through a very sticky situation right now. Maybe your heart is a very difficult place right now. I want to encourage you today. Be encouraged in His love. Be encouraged in His love. Let's pray together.